Hi, everybody. Hi, Inbal. Hi, Lissa. Hi, Kelsey. Hi, Laura. Hi, Sandra. Karen. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Shamit. Hi, Gail. Hi, Anne. Kara. Calvin, I'm so glad you're all here today. I wasn't sure. At some point last week, I was like, why did I schedule calls for next week? but as it turns out, I actually think it's so important for us to be together and to be in community and of course, to stay focused and put our intentions on everything that's happening in the world, but also to be doing what we need to get done for ourselves and in our work, because that's just gonna help support everything. So I just wanna start by saying I'm really happy to be here with all of you. It brings me joy to see your faces, especially this week, especially today. And I just want to acknowledge that it's, for some of us, it's a tough time. For some of us, it's an anxious moment. For some of us, it's a moment being on edge. And it's okay if you're not, but I really want to honor and acknowledge just wherever you're at, that it's okay. And it's welcome here. And my intention for our time together today is to hold space for a really powerful clinic and Q&A call. And also in a way where we don't push out anything, but whatever needs to be in here, allow it to be here. And we'll trust that it's here for a reason and it's here to help us go deeper or get more of what we want. So all that being said, let's just take a moment and get centered and settled and settle in. So wherever you are, just take a moment and begin to settle in and close your eyes. I'll turn off my email. It's dinging. Close your eyes and find your breath. And there's no need to manipulate the breath to make it do anything. Just simply find it. Inhaling and exhaling. Being with your breath and being with your body. Just being present to yourself right now, connecting into your body. And noticing how you feel today without judgment, just allowing yourself to really connect in with how you're feeling. Allow yourself to connect in with what you're thinking. And as you connect in with yourself and with your body and how you're feeling and the thoughts that are moving through you, I invite you to ask your inner wisdom, what is the thought or the belief that will serve you best today? What is the thought or the belief that will serve you best today? And I want to be clear, I'm not necessarily, this isn't about finding the most positive belief ever, right? The belief for you may be that you're entitled to your anger or you're entitled to your grief, right? It can run the range. So what is the belief that will be most helpful and most supportive for you today? Whatever that is, breathe it in. And then take a nice deep breath in and out. And allow your eyes to flutter open. And then from there, one last piece before I open up our Q&A. What is it? It's Wednesday. It's a crazy week, but we could still get stuff done this week. I promise you, we really can. What is it that you know for certain you want to get done by Friday afternoon? Or evening, or you know, if Sunday makes more sense for you, you can do it between now and Sunday. What in your business? I'm gonna get really clear here. What in your business do you know for certain you're gonna get done this week? Write it down, underline it, star it, circle it, and then whatever it is that you just wrote down, I want you to write down what is the very next step you need to take for this thing. What's the very... Okay. And if you want to share in the chat, feel free. Love to see what you guys are going to be accomplishing this week. And with that, I will open up for our Q&A. So as a reminder, like I always do, feel free to bring forward whatever you need, whether it has to do with clients or groups or marketing or any of it. And we'll all use adaptation to see how it applies. See, can you hear me? Can
I can hear you now. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Is that Kelsey? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure if anyone could hear me.
Yeah. You're freezing a little bit. I don't know if your connection is.
Okay. Let me talk, Kelsey. Let me see if I can hear you.
If you can you hear me? Sometimes I find I have to restart my computer because there's stuff running in the background that makes my connection bad when I'm running a Zoom.
All right. Well, I'm not gonna try to avoid doing that right now. Okay. But that being said, I'm gonna move actually, but you can start talking. I'm listening.
Okay. As long as you can hear me. All right. So did you call on me for my question?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So this is sort of just a logistical question that I feel like you might have a good rubric or something for me to go on. As I'm doing my group coaching program, there's 7 people doing it. There's 6 people doing it live. And as I'm writing each class, I'm curious if you have sort of a formula that works for like how long to talk in the beginning, and then how long how much shares and how much group coaching, and then how much breakout room? Like, do you have like a sense of what feels, you're frozen for me. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you. I just took my camera off hoping.
Oh, okay, good. A sense of like a, what a good flow for a 90 minute class would be for six people showing up live.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So I don't have an exact this, sure. this, and that, but what I will say, which you probably already know, but it's good to review, is that the smaller the group, the more time you want to have for sharing and for other voices be heard,
yeah.
you know? So I would think of it, like if I were to kind of estimate right now without having ever thought, you know, exact time-wise before, I would say that probably you want at least half of the call to be other, you know, the six speaking and sharing either in the group or in small groups and you responding to them, right? It can be a little more than that too, but I would say, so you probably want to prepare about 45 minutes of curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
When I have a group that's 10 and smaller, I really, not always, and the smaller, like six for sure, I really like to have everybody do a quick check-in in the yeah. beginning, right? So for, you know, either to just ask a question that's related to the day's curriculum, or even just a quick, like, what do you want to celebrate? Or where are you at today? Mm-hmm. And give each person 2 minutes to answer something like that. Mm-hmm. That really helps create the container, create the community. One of the strengths of a group of six, seven is the community. Mm-hmm. So I would have that in the beginning before going deep into your curriculum. And then at the end, you can have a moment for each person to share out loud their takeaway as well. And then discussion in the middle. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That isn't quite 45 minutes of sharing. So it's breaking, it's figuring out. One of my questions is like, where to fit in. I'm trying to stretch myself in terms of like doing some coaching the way you yeah. do. I want to, and I'm not exactly sure where and how to fit so, that in.
Right. So that shouldn't be 45 minutes on those two ends. Yeah. And then yeah. the rest would be sharing and coaching through the curriculum.
Right.
And so, I mean, the places without seeing your curriculum, the places would probably be after journaling questions or visualizations, places where people have a moment to kind of go inward and think or sort some ideas through, that kind of thing. That's where you want to have shares. Cause that's when people will be less audience and more participatory because you've engaged through questions and they've been thinking through some
right. things. So like after a journaling, after a visualization and the journaling, then you ask for shares. And do you, two or three people share, like one or two people share, you just sort of time it.
It totally depends on time and feel. So for me, it's time, right? Like how much time do I have? How much more curriculum do I want to get through? But then also feel like tuning into the energy. And this is more of like a ephemeral kind of thing, but like, is there more sharing that wants to happen, you know, within the realm of time? Is this a topic that you know that if you hear another share or two, it's actually gonna help gel together so many other things, right? And I kind of sense into that. Sometimes it's about how I've set up the curriculum, but sometimes I'm just sensing into the energy in the room.
Yeah.
Or the virtual room.
Yeah.
Or hearing what the shares that have already come through are.
Yeah. In my experience in this size group, it's sometimes hard to get someone to like want to share and be coached in front of everybody. And some more share when I break it up into twos and threes, people get more into their depth.
If you know that it's a shyer group, I recommend breaking people up into the partners, the two or threes first, and then coming together as a whole group and asking for a few shares based on the smaller group.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. So that's a good validation of that. and then just sprinkling it throughout so that it's curriculum at the front, some sort of visualization, go deep, shares, break up, shares. I mean, I have it. I just sort of needed to hear you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just affirming everything that you know, but sometimes we need that affirmation. You've got it, Kelsey.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so we're great over here. I have a client challenge. So I have an old client who came back after a number of years. She was ready for another round of coaching after her divorce was finalized, and she's shifted from wanting to work on kind of building what's next for herself in terms of vision for her career into really wanting to work on clarifying what she wants in a relationship. And without going into a lot of detail, her previous relationship was incredibly abusive and not in any way, shape, or form normal. And it was the only relationship that she'd ever had. So her template for normal relationships is not normal. And that's well outside of my wheelhouse. So we had a conversation about, hey, I really think your time and your resources would be better spent working with somebody who is a licensed mental health care practitioner who understands the psychopathology that you divorced and who can help you to reorient to what's normal and spot the stuff that could really trip you up and get you into dangerous situations again. And that's really not something that I'm equipped for.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to help you look at what you want, but to get that, you're going to need this other help. She doesn't want to do that because she feels comfortable with me and her only experience with counselors, relationship therapists of any sort was when her ex dragged her to hand-picked, biased, like really bad situation kind of things. So the last session that we had, she said, well, okay, I'm willing to consider it. I'm willing to reach out, but I can't afford it because I've already budgeted the money for you. And so I just said, look, I don't want you to pay me for this session then. I'm begging you actually to use that money to go for an initial session with one of these people that I have already contacted with your permission.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of at a loss. Like I don't want her to feel like I'm abandoning her, like I'm saying that she's too much. You know, I want her to get the help that she needs for what it is that she's working towards that is very clearly not what I am trained to do.
Yeah.
So
what did she say when this last session, when you told her that? She said she was open.
So she said she was open, and she said she would consider contacting two of the people that we'd set up. And as far as I can tell, she has not paid me, but we still have another session set up for next week. And I mean, I know it's no good to like work for free. And this is somebody that I would absolutely see for free just for the joy of working with her when it's appropriate, and it's just so not appropriate now. So.
It sounds like you're doing all the right things. I mean, it really does. I wanna just like really honor you for knowing what's in your scope and what's out of your scope and for standing strong in that. And I have a feeling you already shared with her, you know, I want you to know I'm not abandoning you. It's not because, you know, all the things that you just said, but just in case you haven't, mm-hmm. share that, you know, and I would let her know that you're there on standby for whenever she's ready to pick up the work with you and you know, being clear on what the scope is. The only other piece that I'm seeing is sometimes for somebody in that situation, they do need a little transitional time. So even if they start with the new person, just because there are so many trust issues and she does trust you, you may want one or two sessions of you overlapping sessions with the new person. And maybe that's something that the two of you can work out financially, sliding scale, or you know, what you're willing to do. But in situations like that, sometimes having that transitional, like cocoon time, for a couple weeks can be really helpful for a client.
Yeah. And that just gave me an idea too, that I could ask her, like, if she really wants to keep working with me, you know, transitionally on things that are appropriate.
You can tell her what the scope of the work for, yeah, like, while she's sorting this issue there, the scope might get bigger once she sorts the issue out, but you can also determine like what the scope of work is with you while she's in process with working.
I can also offer, like, I can offer to have like to give her a release form that she can give to the therapist if she wants the therapist to be able to collaborate and say, hey, these are things that are more suited to coaching.
I've done that before.
Yeah. And I haven't had call to do that much recently, but I used to do it a lot in my hypnosis practice. And so I just never had call to do it for the coaching aspects of it. So that's a thing I can do. And I can also see where financially, she's a professional writer. So I could ask her if she'd be open to barter and to doing some copywriting of stuff or copy editing of stuff so that I could get my website done.
Yeah, that could actually work out really well, and just be really clear on what your work is with her, you know, versus the work with the therapist.
Yeah. But
yeah, really, again, just want to honor you for being able to see this in this way.
All right. So I think I know what I need to do next. So that was really helpful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, lunch is done. Thank you, Joanna. I have a question around, two. The first one feels more pressing. We're in the middle of Face Your Dragon. And we got two more sessions. It's going beautiful. We have like a very nice attendance and our Q&As are like filled. So that's going really well and that feels good. And what I'm next thing that I am offering is my Yoga Nidra program over December and January to, and this is for women to, you know, tap into their, get some deep rest and tap into their authentic self. I'm blending in a lot of shadow work into that and looking at, well, what is that stops you from being authentic? The dilemma that I've had is that this is the third time I'm offering this training. And every time I have these really amazing, wonderful men that are like, can we come too? It's like, no, you can't. Like, I'm focusing on women. And part of the meditation is like also working with our female body parts. In a body scan. And because I'm in this Face Your Dragon, where we have a lot of really wonderful men, I decided to offer a section for just the men. So still like the, it is for women. I've changed the name too. I'm calling it Limitless Self, because people then tend to think that if it's yoga nidra, then do I need yoga clothes? Do I need a yoga mat? It's like, no, you just need a bed to lie down on. So I changed it to Limitless Self. And in my promotion, I have an early bird discount that ends 10 days before the program starts. And I am not intending to market to men, but what I'm doing is I'm just going to set up like a parallel class, for just men, but I'm hesitant to do an early bird because I want to keep it simple. Like, I'm not doing this because there's been a strong calling to doing it. I'm doing it because there's been so many men that asked for it. And there's so many men in my circles right now that I'm like, this could really benefit them. And I already have the program. It's not going to take me much to tweak it. So is it okay to just market this to women and just put a little, hey, if you have a man, here's a link. And just not offer the early bird discount. Just like, if you're a man, you want to come in, here's how you sign up.
Would they be coming into that program, or it's a whole separate?
It's whole separate. They're going to have their own Zoom call. They're going to get their own, be like in their own mailing list so that they're getting.
I see. Yeah. So a couple things on this. First of all, 100%, you do that. You don't have to offer the early bird. You can just have it as, you know, sign here. It's so exciting. It's always exciting to expand work in this way. And if this resonates for you, I'll just toss this for you to think about also, you have this class specifically for women. But then if you start to do this is for women and this is for men, it becomes very binary and gender is so fluid these days. Mm-hmm. So you may want to keep your class for women. And then instead of naming it for men, for anyone that doesn't identify as a woman, mm-hmm. You know, and you can also name men and you don't have to do that, Corinne, but I just, I'm, you know, for myself, and I still have a long way to go and becoming more and more aware of and sensitive to the fact that I've grown up just with these binary terms and that is not always inclusive to everyone. And so if that resonates for you, it's a great opportunity to open that up as well.
It does resonate. And thank you for reminding me of that.
Yeah. And I just think it's so exciting that you're expanding. And it's I had a feeling through the dragon training that some more of this was going to happen. And I just want to acknowledge you because, how do I want to frame this? I want to choose my words carefully. You're so masterful. And I get this sense that, like, sometimes in your head, it's like masterful just for women, but outside of that box, there's an intimidation. And I really see you evolving there and claiming even more of your mastery.
Thank you. What I'm noticing in working with men is how steeped I am too in the patriarchal culture that I don't always notice when I'm being mansplained. Or when there's some misogyny happening in the moment, like it's really allowed me to tap into how do you spot it and how do you speak to it in a non-shaming way?
Yes. Yeah.
And how do you protect? Because we're putting them into groups of three to do check-ins.
Yeah.
And I've had some women report to me that, like, ooh, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's such a great opportunity to go into even the shadow of all of that patriarchy. And yeah, so well done.
I do have another question, but I can hold that to the end to let other people ask.
Yeah, if you want to re-raise your hand.
It's completely different.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, just re-raise your hand. Michelle. You there, Michelle?
I am, just hitting the mute button and then unmuting myself, whatever. So I have a question, and I don't know if I'm like making this harder for myself than I need to, which is sort of, you know, the perfectionist in me that wants it all to be nice and neat so that I can do it. I have hired somebody to help me, you know, stay accountable with, you know, writing and putting out posts and to really guide me in that as I'm creating a group and some new offerings for the new year. All that said, I need to put some content together on a weekly basis for them to post and for them to help me in an easing. And I think what I'm really struggling with is, you know, in all of my writing in the past, it's just sort of been what I call bender style. It's like I just get in and just get on a bender and get it done. But it doesn't feel right, you know, especially with the climate that's, you know, going on right now, to write about something, you know, a month ago.
What's going
to
happen?
What's going to happen? And I get it that I could edit it. So what I think I'm just really looking for is an idea around sort of organizing that and compartmentalizing it, or you know, putting it into action, because ideas come into my head, and rather than stopping and writing, which doesn't really always feel very practical with the other things I need to do, I'm tripping over like the best way to organize it. And hopefully that ramble made you understand or gave you some idea of what I'm trying to say.
I think I understand. I just have a clarifying question.
Yeah.
The people that you've hired, are they're just posting, like they're not doing any of the writing. It's not like you're handing off an idea and they're writing it. It's just, you're giving them the actual writing.
I'm giving them the content, and, you know, they'll be doing some editing and tweaking it for me. But it's going to be content that's coming from me.
Yeah. Okay, great. So here are some thoughts just based on what you've shared. If going on the writing benders, I love that, is part of your flow, you know, like if that's actually part of your natural rhythm, I don't think you should not do that anymore.
Okay.
I would say if that is part of your natural rhythm, go on the benders and write, and then maybe you'll almost have like a little bit of a library of things to choose from. And then at the beginning of each week, you can look at the benders from the last 3 weeks and say, okay, this and this and this feels appropriate for this week. This is a great piece of writing, but not this week. I'm gonna, you know, and then you can just almost, and you can have your accountability people set it up almost like a log of, so you know when you've used a certain piece of writing. We kind of do this, and we should actually get more systematized on this on my team too, because I recycle writing. So I always know, okay, I haven't used that piece in a year. I can use it again, sometimes even closer than a year, I'll use it. So you can just start building up a library, and they can even, if you don't have the time to do this yourself, you can even ask them to start backlogging, to start pulling things that you've written in the past and just put a date on when that was. And then you'll really have a full library of what to choose from week by week.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome. Sandra.
Hey there. So I have this client who I set up her program basically to kind of downshift the frequencies of calls over time, right? So the first 3 months we were weekly, and then about a month ago we switched to biweekly, and it's it continues, like even I forget whether it's 3 or 6 months biweekly, and then it shifts to monthly. It's like a longer program. And one of the reasons I did it was it let me spread the payment plan out further, so it was more accessible for her, but it's not like necessarily more time for me. And then at the end of the program, you know, if you need to reach out, we can do a one-off, like just be generous with my time. So that's how it's structured. And I'm a little torn because I can't decide if she feels distant to me between sessions. And I don't like it.
Is it. How long is it in between sessions?
We're 2 weeks right now, or like every other week we're meeting, right? And it's been, I guess this is, we meet this week. I think this will be 6 weeks of every other week sessions. It's my first time structuring it this way. So I don't know if this is just the shift to biweekly, or if I feel like I want to trust my instinct that she is slipping a little, and I feel like I need to pull her back into the container. She's definitely strengthening her muscles in terms of like confidence and asking for help and that kind of stuff. But she's, I think she, like a lot of, that's a lot of what we're working on. And so my suspicion is she may not even see that she's like allowing herself to like float, right? And I want to hold the container tightly in an appropriate way, not like in a gripping way, but I also want to respect the way that I structured it, because I really do trust that like a piece of it is like learning that it's okay to ask for help, and how do you do that, and what does it look like?
Yeah, so first of all, I would trust your instincts, because you have really good instincts, and I think you're keyed in, and it's, you know, just a sign of a great practitioner to even notice, you know, that she's slipping. Most important, always, 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 is to create awareness around mm-hmm. what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't yet done that, I would do that on a next session. I would take the time. It's not going to take the whole session, although it may end up, because it could turn into a bigger thing that's really big and important, right? Mm-hmm. But I, at the beginning of the session, I would share what you're seeing, you know, in a way, the way that we learn in sacred depth. So it's not like this is the truth with a capital T, you know, but create the awareness and see if it resonates and what resonates for her, and possibly look at, you know, obviously you've looked at patterning, it sounds like, around asking mm-hmm. for help and all of that, but just like how that's showing up in this particular way. Mm-hmm. And then that may be enough to have her in the container more fully. But even so, I'm thinking you may want to put some kind of mechanism in place, at least just for a little bit, when the awareness is created. And I'm thinking about something like on the off week, maybe there's a particular form that she fills out on the Monday of the off week. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she can fill it out on her own and send it to you, or else you can just send it to her on Monday and say, like, send it to me, or you send, or whatever it is, send it to me by mm-hmm. the end of the day or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she, like, you agree that she leaves you a Voxer every Monday on the off week, but to put some mechanism in there mm-hmm. for a tighter container on the weeks in between.
Yeah, you know what I'm wondering too is she's a longtime friend of mine, like 20 years or something. And so I just was like, you know, I'm not, text me, it's fine. Like, I didn't make a big deal about setting up Voxer at the time. And it still doesn't feel like a violation of boundaries. Like, it just felt simpler. And I like to keep things simple when possible. But the beauty of it's like, it's just so, like, voice messaging is so helpful for some people. And I do think she's a bit of a verbal processor. So I may introduce it from that angle. Like, you know, I didn't set it up because, you know, we do phone and that's fine. And here's another way that we can connect between sessions. So I stick with my container because somehow that feels important to me. Like, shifting it too much doesn't feel right.
I don't think you should shift the sessions. Okay. I think you should add an element or create a mechanism for holding mm-hmm. a little bit tightly in between sessions.
Yeah. Kind of like a part B to this, which I'll keep really fast. One of the main reasons she reached out is she lost her job with the pandemic. And so we worked a lot on confidence in getting a new job, just like interviewing or whatever. So she got the job and started it the same week we shifted to biweekly. And so I know she's coming home exhausted and like shifting her schedule. And so I think I want to honor that too. And also I'm wondering, and maybe I just need to say this out loud for the sake of it, but like offering to bring in work-related goals into what we're doing for the next piece, because I think that she may have compartmentalized a little and not even realized, you know what I mean? Because we're doing a lot of, it's not quite like productivity in the way I do with some people, but it is a lot of like, I have goals and I never achieve them sort of thing, right? Like I just kick the can down the road and that doesn't make me happy and I want to change that. And so it's reframing past beliefs about past circumstances. And how do you plan a project? How do you map out a goal? How do you follow through and have your own back? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also I think it's a good moment to reassess the goals of the work together, because she got the job and she started the job. So mm-hmm. it's like a natural point in the cycle of the work that you're doing together, plus shifting to every other week. Yeah. Like it's actually a perfect moment to say, okay, this and this and this has been accomplished. Yay! You celebrate, right? And now from like here, we have this much time in this cycle. What's the goal that we're
yeah. Yeah, we did. I did do a 3 hour or an hour and a half, like a longer, I think it was 90 minute sort of planning session, similar to that, like goal setting. And we did come up with a thread out of it. But I think because it's so spread out, like she doesn't have that muscle to like carry it through quite yet. So I think that that may be what I need to help her.
I would say yes to all that. And if need be, does she fill out a form for you before sessions?
No.
Okay. That can help with the thread.
Yeah.
Have a question there that relates specifically, or you know,
I may even just like build it into the Notion page for her or something. And okay,
good.
Right. Thank you, Joanna.
Inbal.
Hi, everyone. So my question is really about. I mean, I'm having a lot of stress right now about like being productive. And I think, you know, kind of navigating, you know, like trauma and ADD and all of these things that are coming up. I found a therapist. I figured out like payment, but I feel really anxious around, it's like, I'm trying to figure out if like I need more of a break and what kind of break to have, because I'm not moving. I'm really anxious around income and feel like, so, and so it's also hard for me to take a break because, you know, it's like, I feel like my time should be spent like doing income generating activities. So, you know, so it's kind of that. And also like, it's been really, I mean, in part because of trauma, it's been really hard for me to plan anything like before and after this election. So, you know, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, is it because like, you know, I don't have kids, or kind of like this whole, like, you know, like life goes on, like things are, you know, continuing. I've been taking like really good care of myself around this. And part of it is being a really conscientious and sensitive person.
I think you're a conscientious and sensitive and deeply, deeply caring person, and someone who like really cares. I mean, we all do, but well, like when injustice happens, you know, like this is your passion. And so this is a moment, you know, in time where things, it makes perfect sense to me that things feel a little harder right now. And I can, and I want to ask you some questions about like your time and your space, because I think we can go down that road and get far, and that will be helpful for you. But before I do, like, I do want to name that anytime, and you know this, like anytime trauma is present, that has its own time period too, like it's its own timeline, right? And so I think we can come up with some really good ideas, you know, without doing like a whole session and us going into the body, like whatever, you know, I think we can come up with some good ideas. And also, I tell me if this sounds weird, but it's like, we still have to also kind of bow down to trauma some in certain moments and know that it's gonna do its thing, and for you to just have compassion for yourself, getting through the whatever the plan is going to be as much as you can, while knowing that this is also at play. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, because it's also like, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but like, I have to figure out how to pay for a therapist.
I didn't hear what you said, how to pay for,
a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, I have shitty healthcare. So I'm single income. So yeah, I need to, and I also like, you know, I'm spending all this money to resource myself. So I also want to be like taking action.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that you can take action and also have the space. And so I guess my question around that is, you use the term take a break. I'm gonna not use that term and shift it and say like have space. What would it look like in your week, let's say, to have a plan and be taking action while also having space?
Like in terms of like an ideal schedule, like in terms of what?
Whatever comes to mind for you first, like what would it, whatever comes, I mean, it could be ideal schedule for sure. But I don't want to just limit it to that in case some other thoughts come to you.
You know, I think part of it is like, you know, also like this person I co-work with, like hasn't been available because she's been moving. So I feel like, yeah, like if I'm doing like something every day, or like if I decide a certain amount of hours, because part of it is like just getting like into something. But, you know, I think part of like the trauma response is that like I can't plan anything.
Mm-hmm. So it's like you wake up that day and see what you can do.
No, I mean, it's like, I just do like the basic things, but I'm also like, yeah, maybe it was wrong to think that, okay, like I, you know, that I could have started outreach like 3 weeks ago.
But don't, that's not helpful thinking. Helpful thinking is like, what is available to you now? What can you do now?
I mean, I need more like, I need more containers so that I can like, and kind of like external structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is like, I'm busy all the time. Like I'm, you know, like I'm signing up for things, I'm doing stuff like for my house, but then I'm not like moving forward. So and, you know, and then I'm like constantly stressed about money and like, quote unquote, productivity.
Yeah.
And it also stresses me out, like just with the economy to not be doing anything.
So it sounds like, I mean, you said it exactly. You need some containers with external accountability.
Yeah, and then it gets into like, okay, well, clearly, like, I can't just, like, be an entrepreneur, like, because, I mean, though, the scheduling thing is really hard. Like, I don't have, yeah, it's, like, all for me. Like, I would have slept all day if we didn't have this call.
So do you see how your mind is going to, like, the worst? It's like, I have trouble holding containers and I need external support holding containers for now, may not be forever, right? So that obviously means that I shouldn't be an entrepreneur. And you know, it's such a big jump one to the other. First, let me just pause there. Can you see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, it's not just based on this, it's also based on the last few years. So it's not like a new thing or like this new,
Yeah. I hear you, but I'm still pointing out like where your mind wants it to go, and like the all neural pathways lead to I suck. You know, it's like, and I don't mean to laugh, but I know you can totally. Take it. Like, you know, and you got to call yourself out on that.
Yeah.
It's so important. Because or else that's just the autopilot constantly without you realizing it happening in the back of your mind. You know, everything is evidence to this thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. That the evidence can point somewhere else. So we'll get to solutions in a moment, but this piece, and I know you know it, but it's so important to be on top of it. You know, I have a similar thing that I have to, I just have this proclivity to like catastrophic misery, you know? And I mean, part of it is Holocaust and my upbringing and all of that. And when I'm not on top of myself, like I'm there in a split second, like anything, you know, even positive things can help have me end up there, right? So it's so important to be on top of that, number one. Number two, what I'm hearing is that you need containers with external support. Like, let's just not make it into anything else than what it is. Like, that's what you need. And I know that if you had, that doesn't have to be 30 hours a week. Like if you had a couple of those a week, you would really start getting things done. So that where that takes me is like, okay, so where can you get that? The first place I think is here. I know that there are people who want to do co-working sessions in this circle. It takes a little bit of organizing, but you know, and it doesn't have to be more than one other person, but Inbal, if you could find someone, and it could be three different people, three different days of the week that can do 90 minute chunk of time, you've got three containers with external support there. And just anyone that's listening, and nobody feel obligated, but if anybody is up for that, just put it in the chat right now. I see Anne is saying yes. I have a feeling that there are probably at least a few other people who are so with you on this. Lissa's saying yes, Bryn is saying yes, Shamit saying yes, and thank you for putting something together. Gail is saying yes. So I think there may more may be needed here, but what I'm hearing is like that's the starting point, just having, because you're gonna fill your time in if you don't have the dedicated time. So just start giving yourself the dedicated time. And then let's check in, do that for a week or two. Let's see how it's going. And then we can see what else is needed from there. How does that feel?
Yeah, I think it'll like, yeah, I've had this idea. I just haven't, like Michelle had posted or shared, like even like an online co-working thing. So yeah, it's like I've had the idea. So maybe this will, yeah, help to create some of that. Yeah, and then, yeah, because my thing is like, because the consultancies also provided like so much structure.
Yeah, so you need to have more of that structure. You know, it just, you do better with that. So you want to put that in, and there may be some other ways of including that too, like co-working. But are there other creative ways to create some other containers?
Yeah. I'm really tired.
Yeah, I get it. So I'm going to just push you a little bit. Tell me if it's okay. But I want you to actually, if you can, and I know it's 3 hours earlier for you in California, so you have more of the day. I want you to start reaching out to some people that posted in the chat today.
and set some things up or post in the Facebook group to see who wants. Anne is gonna start to put something together, but don't wait 3 days to get on it. Like, if you do nothing else today around your business, do this. Get some time set up for as soon as you can.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Corinne.
Hey, oh gosh, I didn't think you didn't have time for me, but you did. Thank you. So here's my next question. It's about scheduling and about how many programs can one run at the same time? Because, you know, I'm seeing your offers and I know some of them are so concurrent. And so here's what I'm looking at. And I get my question at the end. So the Face Your Dragon is ending in a couple of sessions, and we're going to offer a 5 months deep dive for 12 people. So this would be like a higher end program, much more one-on-one to really move the needle for 12 people. So that will only be marketed to the people that were in the 7-week training. So it's not like something that's going to be broadcast. There might be a few other people we might personally invite, but it's not going to be a marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. I am marketing the Yoga Nidra program, Limitless Self, for January, December. We're doing another Face Your Dragon in March, kind of hoping to do that twice a year. So the 6 weeks leading up to that, that would be like the big push. Yeah. What I really want to do is, I haven't done a shadow work weekend in almost a year because of COVID. I probably will not do another shadow work weekend until there's a vaccine or something, because it's doing it in person. It's so intimate that you just cannot do an ideal blessing without spitting on each other, kind of. So what I like to do is to create an archetypal journey. Because we always start our shadow work weekend with introducing the archetypes and the shadow types and how does this pertain to you. And it can so easily be converted to an online experience. And so I have a lot of energy and juice about doing it. But it's does it fit in? It's like, do I have enough time to... maybe offer that. If I offer that in January, beginning of February, and I'm thinking a 5 week each, shadow ones, and then each one of the archetypes for maybe a 2-hour Zoom call each week. And then from there, maybe leading into Face Your Dragon. I'm thinking how does it lead in? So I wanted to have your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So it's very subjective. I was chuckling because I think I'm running too many programs right now, being totally honest.
Jana can do it.
It's so subjective, and it's about really looking at your schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So, because it depends on how many private clients you're seeing. It depends on how much of the marketing you're doing and how much energy that, right? Like if I have most, I don't do most of my marketing anymore. You know, I mean, I have a say in it, I lead it, but other people write it for me and put it together for me. I couldn't run as many things as I'm running right now, but because it takes so much energy to focus on marketing, right? So you have to look at that as a factor. The other piece is how high touch are each of the programs, right? If the programs are a lot of hand holding, how many people's hands can you hold at one time, right? So that's a factor as well. Now that doesn't mean if there's a lot of people's hands to hold that you can't do it, but then comes the question of do I want someone to help me hold their hands? Do I want
kind of a right-hand person to check in with people if I'm running programs where I like to check in with people, or right, like I'm really like at that place where I'm like, I can't add anything else on unless I have a community manager that's going to do some of the checking in for me, right? So there, I know I'm not, I wish I could give you a like, yes, this, no, that, but I think you have to look at all of the pieces together, as well as how much time you want to take off during the holidays, mm-hmm. and see and understand where your boundaries are as well. My sense is that like, yes, you could run three programs at once, but not if you're also marketing at the same time, like doing full on marketing for the next program. Each time you need to hand off at least some more of that. Is this helpful?
Very, very. And can you talk to me more about community manager?
Yeah.
The term?
I can tell you a little bit now, and I'm kind of working it out. As I work it out for myself more, I'll share more with you. But for example, I'm moving towards running Sacred Depth on top of everything else, running Sacred Depths twice a year. This is all, and the pandemic kind of pushed me into it because I couldn't offer into the depth. So we did it and it worked. And now I'm wanting to do it at least every 6 months. And I want a certain amount of people in it. We have to work on the marketing for that. But if I'm going to have at least 50 people, and the program is 10 months, right? So there'll be crossover and coaching mastery, or like all the things. I am no longer going to be able to be like, oh, I haven't seen Corinne on a call in about a month. I'm going to shoot her a message, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to have somebody on my team that is kind of looking after people, maybe answering some Facebook posts. Like I'll still do the teaching, but it can't only be me anymore. No. I imagine at some point, maybe the community manager, like if I'm teaching content, maybe there are some smaller groups. Like if there's 50 people in Sacred Depths, maybe there's groups of 10 that meet twice a month with the community manager to just see like, how are things integrating? What do you need? I don't know. Like all of this is to be determined, and it can be so many different things, but hopefully this is giving you some ideas. Someone who can have a pulse on all the different people, or at least in one of the programs. Now in your Dragon program, you've got your co-facilitator to help you with that. Is there, you know, in some of the other programs, could you use some other kind of support? Mm-hmm. Things to think about.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know I'm not giving you a like, you know, this, but I want you to take all the
pieces. No, I hear it and I hear and I see the need, and for this Dragon, I'm working with David, who's such a people person. It's like he just thrives on people, and this is the only thing he's doing. So he got that portion. And when it comes to the Yoga Nidra, I do have my Zoom DJ, and she also keeps track of who shows up and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's great. And so maybe you can even hand her a little more responsibility there too.
Yeah. All right, thank you. And I love your new website, it's beautiful. Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Shamet.
Hello.
Hi.
So I wanted to say, you know, you sent me that email, Joanna, and then you put x3x3, and then I open this page. I don't know if you can see that, but it says x3x3. I mean, I opened it right after I read your email, and it's all about channeling the goddess Isis. And it's an incantation for the priestess that I wrote years and years ago. So it was like, okay, everything's meant to be for a reason, and you put a fire underneath me mm-hmm. to get dates together. Okay. And yeah, so thank you. all meant to be. And I realized the way that I work is I kind of just go with the flow and things fall into place. But by, you know, sending me that email, I realized that actually not everyone else works the way that I work. And when I'm working with other people, that it is about, you know, honoring everyone's timelines. And so that's what my question is about. I've already got 9 priestesses, goddesses, amazing women that are going to be part of it, of the summit. And I want, the idea that I have is that it will be a 9-day summit and featuring one speaker each day and then, you know, drip feeding it. And it's all recorded, except for the beginning, the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony will be live. Mm-hmm. And then of course I have to also think about how the reason why I'm doing this, which is of course bringing awareness and all of the good reasons why I'm doing it, but also having it feed into my training. And so my training date for my priestess training, which I have 4 women signed up for so far. Yay! Yeah, that's really good. Is the end of February. So my goal is to come up with a date before Friday.
So yeah. And so I would just say based on that timing, because I want to give you enough time to have everybody do their videos and to get all the marketing for it together so it can really bring a lot of people in. But then you need time for the summit to happen. And then for the new people that are coming into your community through the summit to get to know you, to get to like you, to start to trust you, and then to want to kind of have a conversation about the priestess training, etc. So, you know, you probably want the summit to run. It's 9 days. I'd say anywhere like the second, third, fourth week of January or the first week of February, somewhere that's somewhere in there. Any later than the first week of February, there's not enough time to warm up to you. I think anything earlier than the second week of January, you're not going to have enough time to really put together marketing that feels good. And then have each of your JV partners, your partners promote it adequately. So I'd say that's somewhere in that window is where it's going to happen.
The first week of January.
The actual summit would happen somewhere between the second week of January and the end of the first week of February, any 9 days in there.
So run it the second week of January.
And any time in that period. So it could be the third week, second week, or third week, or fourth week, or first week of February, whatever feels right for you. I'm sure you'll look at astrological things or whatever, but like that somewhere in that window is when it should happen.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Thank you. And you think that will give me enough time to get... And how long do you think I should run the actual summit?
Well, you said it's 9 days.
Yeah. But so they usually run it and then they have it kind of like on a playback where you can watch the...
Yeah. I don't know. I've never run a summit like that. I wouldn't have it open forever. I know sometimes they do like each call, each video is open for 48 hours. I always think that that's too short of a window for busy people. You know, maybe have it open a week. All the videos are open a week post, like once the 9 days are over or something like that. I wouldn't do it longer than that because then people lag and they feel like they can't move on to the next thing if the first thing is still open and they still have to look, because you do pretty soon afterwards want to invite them. You're probably going to want to have some preview session for the priestess training that happens soon after the summit closes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that really helps. Yeah, I do understand the importance of getting all of this. Like, honestly, for a while, it was just a vision and a dream. And now all of a sudden, now that people have said yes, and you know, it's like, okay, this is really happening.
Yay.
Exciting. Yeah. So the next question I have is, you know, I have a template for the agreement, for the summit agreement. Do I send the agreement after people have said yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
First, it's more less business, more friendly. And then once someone agrees, then you can send the template.
Okay, great. And then do I get them just to send me the video through like WeTransfer or something?
If there are any geek techs in the circle. My team always helps me do video things. I have no idea about that.
I was told by someone else that they use WeTransfer. So
I don't know. That's where my eyes glaze over. You have no idea.
You probably don't know the answer to that one either. I was going to ask how long do I market it before,
Well, you want to give your partners a good window of time because they may have other marketing going on. So usually you give a partners like about a 10-day period for them to send out their emails or social media. 10 to 14 days is probably a good, you know, just so that people can fit it in where they can fit it in.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Joanna.
Welcome. I'm so excited for people are in the program already. That's awesome.
Yay.
Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I have a client question. And it's still a little fuzzy in my head, but I'm going to try my best. My brain is fuzzy today. But so I have a client who we've worked through a lot. The fact that she really loves being busy. Like she says that she wants to be less stressed and less overwhelmed. But we've already created awareness around the fact that like she really, really loves to be busy. And that feeds something for her. And so she's working on like shifting that pattern to be more in alignment with what her like conscious mind wants, which is less stress. But there was another thing that came up in our group chat recently where she was talking about being really upset about being blown off by people. And basically what's happened is she, in the past month, has decided, she gave herself a month to launch her business and to get her website up because she's like a fast worker. And so she called in all these favors for people, her brother-in-law, other family members and friends to like do the website work for her and do some design work for her and label printing. And then proceeds to get like really anxious around it and upset when she feels like they're not delivering. And so like from my perspective, like what I see happening is she's creating really unrealistic expectations for what other people can do. And that almost sort of like, based on something she said before, like I think she gets a real kick out of having done it all herself. And I'm seeing this as sort of like a sabotage type behavior of like, yeah, so she's asking for help, but then like, oh, they couldn't, they're blowing me off, right? And so I was trying to ask into that of like, what is it that you really love about being blown off? Like, what role does it play in your life? And like, how is it serving you? But like, I don't know if she's making that connection, because I asked her that and she's like, no, like, I just hate it. it sucks.
did you straight up reflect what you're seeing?
Well, that was my question, right? Is like, I started writing a response of like, yes, sometimes like, I wonder if this is what's going on. But then I was like, I wonder, maybe Joanna has like a way of me asking rather than telling, because I know it's more powerful if she like comes to that herself, you know?
So almost all of the time, it's more powerful if someone comes to it themselves.
Right.
If you remember back to our creating awareness module in Sacred Depths, mm-hmm. There is the one of the ways of creating awareness, which is reflecting hard truths. And yeah. In that one, you say it, but you follow it up with a question, right? So you share the truth that you're seeing and being willing to be wrong about it, because client knows best, right? And then asking if that resonates or if that doesn't resonate, what else is that sparking for you? What are you seeing that resonates for you?
Okay.
Sometimes we need to more directly create that connection, and no amount of open-ended question is going to do that. There are some cases where we just want to state it, but what's important is that we don't state it with authority. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like a toss. And then we're really honoring the client's inner wisdom around it and giving them opportunity to see what lands and what doesn't for them.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I feel like I've sort of danced around it and it wasn't really clicking. So yeah. And I just wanted to like check myself on it, because I am trying to lean more into asking and less into consulting. But yeah, I can see how like, if I'm seeing something, it serves her in this moment to at least reflect it and say like, hey, I'm curious about this thing. And like you said, like, how does that land or what resonates in that?
Yeah. What else does it spark for you? Because sometimes I'll reflect a hard truth that I think I'm seeing, mm-hmm. and the client will be like, no, you know, like, no, but if I just like, let it be, you know, I either will like allow for silence for a moment. This is over email, so it might be a little different, or I'll just say, okay, so what does it bring up for you? They'll pull something else out that is really resonant for them, right? So I just need to not be attached to like being smart enough to think that I knew, but understand that whatever I'm tossing, like we're stirring, it's adding another ingredient to stir the cauldron, and then the client is gonna see what they need to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that makes sense. I had another thought and then it slipped away. Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, I feel like the non-attachment piece is important, because I feel like I've been asking these questions with like the answer in mind. And then she's not saying what I want. And then I'm like, I could be totally wrong. So I need to allow for that possibility too.
Totally. Like once you allow for that possibility, then it actually becomes easier to share what you're seeing. And to, you know, and to not tiptoe around it, because you know that it doesn't have to be right, and you trust that it'll generate whatever needs to be generated next.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, and then the other thing I just wanted to say, and maybe this is part of what you were saying, but if it is, make it even more clear to her, is that, possibly like some of the setup for people to let her down is so that she can continue to be busy.
Right, because then she has to do it all herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's not something I connected the dots with directly, but that can be a good bridge. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Lissa.
This is kind of a technical question, so I'm aware that you might not be able to do all of it, but I thought I'd throw it out to the group. I'm looking for some information. I'm setting up my website and my business systems and everything, and I was curious about, do I use my own phone number? And one reason I'm asking that is because I have a Cash App tied to my personal account, but I've just set up a separate account. My daughter was telling me that I can get like a Google number or something. And I'm just nervous that I'm going to get too many pieces going and then I'm going to lose track of things. And, so if I get a Cash App, because she set up my Cash App for me as Lissa Gugu, which is my grandma name. So I was thinking I would do one with my like Divine Assist, my business name. So I just have this. I'm trying to figure out the pieces.
Sandra and Anne Sandra's saying absolutely not Google number, please. Okay. And I agree with her. And Anne is saying she uses Google.
That's the Cash App gateway. But I also, when I did training as a VA back like 15 years ago, and I don't know if PayPal has gotten any better, but they're like on the PayPal thing. And I do have a PayPal.me, but I don't know like how much, what's the least system that I need for payment gateways for what I just offering one-on-one coaching.
I'm gonna ask the group this because we take credit cards or PayPal and I haven't had any trouble with PayPal, but I know some people have.
Right.
You're getting
okay
in the chats. Yeah, that's a good question, but I can't.
I can post it because this is gonna end and so everybody's information is gonna fall away. I can post it in Facebook too, but I appreciate everybody's, PayPal, because they don't have to follow the rules of a bank. They can just keep your money if they want. Like people can complain about you and just.
So, yeah, but there's some other thoughts here. Venmo.
Yeah, Venmo. Venmo is PayPal. Cash App is Square. I do know that, but I will check out.
Okay.
So I'd be happy to move this conversation into Facebook, but I wanted to speak it in the circle. Pardon me?
Yeah, put it in the Facebook group too. But
okay, thank you, everyone. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was writing something to Lissa. I'll make this quick. So my client who planned this wedding during COVID, I'm gonna smile just because it's a little bit ridiculous. I'm definitely being judgmental, which is why I'm sharing it here. So she had to cancel the wedding because her dad got back from Iran the Monday before. She saw him on the Tuesday and then insisted that he get checked for COVID and he was positive. And so then they were worried that she and her fiance and her mom had it. So they ended up canceling the wedding. And there were just like so many bad decisions made. And so, in my opinion, I feel really badly for her. And I was like checking in with her and, and like affirmed her decision. And so my concern is that it felt to me like things were happening super quickly. And there was like this like major sense of urgency. It's like the wedding was planned a month in advance. They moved 2 weeks before the wedding. Her fiance is like completely run down and ended up like sleeping most of the weekend. And so there's kind of like, not guilt, but like, should I have said more around this? But she's like extremely organized. She was really clear. And so I also, like, she never asked me like, is this a good plan? So like, I want to honor that because I really trusted her to do what she needed to do. And she's not working right now. So yeah, but I'm kind of like, I guess in a way, like, how to help kind of like get like any lessons here without being a judgmental bit.
Like help her get lessons?
Yeah. If there is anything, and part of it is, yeah.
Inbal, can you hold on a second? There's a weird noise that is worrying me. Just give me like 1 second.
Yeah, totally.
sorry. It's not coming from inside the house. This isn't my house. I just didn't know what was happening there. I just want to make sure I'm clear. She asked you for your opinion. Like, is this solicited or unsolicited?
No, just that like we're speaking on, so this was an off week for us. And so she scheduled a call because there's like so many emotions and things coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was super sad about like for her with the wedding and the details and let her know that I'm available. But, you know, I'm also like, yeah, like what was going on that like made this so, yeah, like there's a sense of urgency that I'm seeing and it's around getting pregnant.
Yeah.
That then like also happened with all of these things. Like, and it just seemed to me like also like intuitively, I was like, this is such a terrible date, just a terrible plan.
Yeah.
But she was also like really set and I wanted to honor that. Like she knows what she's doing.
So, I mean, it feels to me like you first of all, just need to take her lead when you get on the call. It feels like you know a little bit where she's at, but not totally where she's at. So I would first just on the call, like check in with her and see what it is that she needs. I'm not clear on what she needs around this based on what you've shared. Like you have your own thoughts and all of that, but just very first things, like what is it that she needs? You know, what's most important to her? And then if she says like, you know, what's the learning or why did this happen? Then I would ask questions along that line. Like, you know, I mean, honor, acknowledge how sucky it is and all of that. But ask her like, what do you think are the lessons here? You know, what is it? Why is this happening? What do you think caused this other than world events and COVID? You know, like those may not be the exact right questions, but I would kind of noodle in based on what her needs are, number one. Unless I'm not hearing you correctly, but I think because of some of your judgments, you're kind of guessing into what she's needing around this. And if it feels right at some point in the conversation, reflect the truth around the urgency piece. But I definitely wouldn't start there. I would start with like, what is it that she needs? What, you know, what is it that she wants to receive? What is it, you know, and help her come to some of the lessons and the understandings through some questions and then see if there are any loose ends for you to kind of connect the dots on for her.
Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's some, and then there's some things that are, I just have to say this, that like, we're just dumb.
Yeah.
Like who the hell goes and like hangs out with someone who just got off a plane from Iran less than a week before your wedding and then get tested the next day?
Yeah. And those are the pieces that you just need to like, I'm glad you're speaking it to this space, you know, because it's like, ah, right? And then let her either come to totally that conclusion or not on herself.
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons I brought it up here. I'm just like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We are at 2:30. Shamet, I see that your hand is raised. And so I just want to honor that we're at 2:30. Whoever needs to go can go. And Shamet, I've got like another 3 or 4 minutes. So I'm happy to answer your question.
It's a celebration because I asked a breakthrough question and I reflected a hard truth with one of my one-on-one clients, as you have taught us, and it was amazing. And so I just wanted to say thank you because yeah, it was so incredible. And I wouldn't have known how to do that if it wasn't for this training, Joanna. So thank you so much. And I love your new website. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to hear it. It's awesome.
It was amazing. It was so amazing. And so I'm so grateful for this work. Really, really powerful. And it really helped her so much. And yeah, it was amazing. So thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm so, so happy that your clients are getting to experience your skill. Yay. All right, everybody. I'm sending you all a ton of love. I'm here if there's anything that you need. If I didn't hear from you today, I'm going to trust that you have what you need. But if there's something you need and you didn't ask a question, post it in the Facebook group, send me a note, just however I can help. Sending you all love. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.